And good morning. It's 8:27. This is 105.1 WAYY. Joining us on the live line this morning, we're going to talk about a big event going on today at UW-Stout. We're going to talk workforce development. We've got the Assistant Deputy Secretary of Workforce Development, Dave Anderson, with us. UW-Stout Chancellor Bob Meyer is with us as well. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
We're delighted to have you here to talk a little bit. First of all, maybe we could start, and Bob and Marty are here as well, and we'll have some questions for you. But let's start with what exactly is going on today. Kind of set the framework for us here. What's going to be happening today at Stout?
Well, this is Bob Meyer. Hopefully you can hear me okay on the phone. We're on speakerphone this morning.
You sound great.
All right, great. We're really excited to host the event here at UW-Stout. The idea is to have a listening session. I'm going to mention today in my welcoming remarks, there's an old proverb that says you have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you talk. And that's sort of the idea today to frame it up. We'll have a lot of educational partners here from the Wisconsin Independent Colleges and Universities, the UW system, the technical college system, and we're really here to listen and build a bridge to the future. As you probably know, there's a well-known skill gap, not only in Wisconsin, but across the nation, and a talent gap that needs to be forged. And so I'm really proud that we're hosting the event and have the ability to listen to our employers so that with the precious resources that we all have, we can align them in a way that we can meet those needs.
Yeah, we're actually calling it a workforce alignment workshop, but really more specifically, we're here to really talk about the value of internships and how we can engage more private sector employers in providing opportunities for university and college students, whether they're technical college students, university students, private college students, to get that hands-on experience actually in the workplace. The legislature passed Act 283 in the last session that gave the Department of Workforce Development a little bit of a role in coordinating on a statewide basis opportunities for internships. And what we're looking to do is listen to what private sector needs are and try to figure out a way to effectively pair that up with what the universities and colleges and technical colleges are already doing to provide really experiential learning for their students. So we're really excited about the group that's coming together today.
With regard to the skills gap that exists, what do you think some of the reasons are behind that? Is it lack of desire for these jobs, a lack of pay that's connected to the jobs, lack of the jobs themselves, lack of interest, and we don't have enough intelligence to do some of these things? Where do you think the gap really exists?
Again, this is Chancellor Meyer, and I think it's some of those things, but mainly I think it's The world of work has really expanded. I mean, just think in terms of when I was younger, I broke my toe, and the only way you could really image that break was with an x-ray. Now think of all the various ways that you can image a broken toe or look inside the body, PET scans, magnetic resonance. You know, what I'm saying is that the spectrum of jobs available for students to pursue in the pipeline has just exploded. And so one of the things that we have to work on is career awareness and where the job demands are and how we align our resources educational-wise to create pathways for those students. And the other thing that's happening that's very prevalent is that we have an aging population. That's true in Wisconsin. So just looking at the demographics, we have a lot of people moving out of the workforce into retirement. And so we have to be very thoughtful about how we position ourselves to replace those workers as they're lost.
You know, I just pulled out my iPhone and I signed on to the jobcenterofwisconsin.com, which is our state labor exchange online. And as of this morning, there are 90,147 jobs available here in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
There are 44,025 job seekers who have posted resumes. This goes exactly to your question about the skills gap. What we see is that a lot of times those who are looking for work don't quite have the skills they need to compete effectively for the jobs that are available. And that's why it's important for us as a state agency focusing on talent development to really coordinate our efforts with our higher education institutions across the state to make sure that training is being offered that really helps these job seekers gain the skills that they need to qualify for the jobs that are available. But imagine that, 90,147 jobs available today.
And I think you alluded to kind of the question I was going to ask. We always say, well, our schools have to turn out more trained and educated workers. How much of the onus is on the employers themselves to be up to speed and be part of this whole equation?
I think it's critical for employers to be part of this whole equation. You know, we've got a great program here in the state of Wisconsin that's existed for the last couple of years called Wisconsin Fast Forward, which is really kind of a customized training program that employers can take advantage of to provide training for incumbent workers that need to upskill a little bit so that they can qualify for that next level of service within the company, as well as to bring in new employees into their organization. You know, a lot of times students and individuals come out of their training programs with the basics that they need to succeed, but it may not be quite the skill set that the employer is looking for. Programs like Fast Forward really allow employers the opportunity to kind of customize training unique to their workplace to give these job seekers kind of a leg up, or incumbent workers a leg up as they seek to advance their careers.
Yeah. This may speak a little bit to where the onus falls, and I hope this doesn't sound too callous when I say this, but are employers being too picky? I mean, there's a scenario in which at one point in this country, you could do an internship. You could start off. You learned through experience. You got on the job. You got trained while you were on the job, and employers accepted kind of what was there. Have we gotten to a point where we've kind of put people behind the eight ball that they're never going to get the skill sets that are going to be required of some of these employers?
Yeah, you know, speaking as the chancellor at the university, the one thing that I just observe is that it's a learning experience for employers, too. They have to navigate how they can offer an internship. It's one of the things that today is all about, is trying to make the connections and network with employers, have them understand how they can navigate our system. We had 1,238 students enrolled in co-ops and internships at Stout last year. That's phenomenal. And it's a great recruitment strategy on their part, too. It's everybody's kicking the tires. The students are that are involved with these. They're getting great experience for their resume, but it's also important for the employers. So I think you're right. It is a partnership, and it's one that we all have to work on both sides of the equation. And it's great for employers because about 60% of our students, if we look at the statistics, 60% of the students that are engaged in a co-op get a job offer from the company that they're co-oping with. So from that aspect, it's a really important tool for both the student and the employer.
Go ahead and finish the answer. I was going to ask a different question.
I was going to say, just to piggyback on that a little bit, part of the challenge here really is demographics here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, our economy is getting stronger all the time. Our unemployment rate is below the national level. We've got the largest number of people in the workforce that we've ever had in our state's history. Those are great accomplishments, but they don't come without challenges. And one of the challenges is trying to make sure we have enough people in the workforce pipeline to meet the needs of our employers. And frankly, the demographics are a little bit against us.
Yeah.
We're a little bit on a demographic decline. As the chancellor said, our population is aging a little bit. I think it's even more important for employers to be engaged, as they are becoming more engaged all the time, to make sure their workforce needs are being met. Governor Walker often talks about the fact that our workforce needs are so critical here in the state of Wisconsin. We can't afford to have anybody sitting on the sidelines, and that's certainly the case with the labor market today.
105.1 WYYY, we have on the live line with us this morning on the Wisconsin Credit Union Hotline, Dave Anderson, the Assistant Deputy Secretary from Workforce Development, and UW Stout Chancellor Bob Myron. And thanks, gentlemen, for joining us. Bob, continue with your question.
I guess going the internship route, and I'm thinking, I did an internship when I was in college many, many years ago, and I don't know if it was called internships then. But nationally, employers have gotten a lot of criticism, as people have said, taking advantage of these students, because in many cases they don't pay them for their internships, and they can say, well, it's an education, they're getting an education. They are, but that has to be reconciled. I mean, students have to have a summer job, so to speak, and to earn some money so they can help with their college education, because it's not getting any cheaper, as you know, Chancellor. How in Wisconsin, what are you finding in the workforce as far as using students in internships? Are the majority of those that our students are getting involved in around Wisconsin, are they being paid?
Yeah, the majority are in Wisconsin. The average pay is moving up towards about $17 an hour on average. And actually, we call our internship a co-op because it's a cooperative venture between the university and the employer. And you made a very good point that, you know, in the past, the problem with some of the internships is they've just been, you know, really low-level employment opportunities. And we've really worked with employers. Every one of our programs has a program advisory committee that helps shape the curriculum. Every program has a program director, and the program directors are the ones that work directly with every co-op that we create. It's not a three-month experience. It's not just a summer experience. This is a six-month experience that's part of the curriculum. They get credit for it, and we have very, I would say, strict standards over what kind of educational experience that they get. We want them to be exposed to a variety of different learning skills that they're going to need to have on graduation and practice those. So these are very intentionally designed. They are focused on building the person and having them grow. And again, you make a good point. We don't want the student to be exploited. If that's the case, those co-ops don't last very long, and we cycle through and find another employer, basically.
You
brought up a lot of demand for these.
I'm sorry about that, Chancellor. You brought up an interesting comment regarding building the person, and maybe both of you can speak to this too, because you have an interesting charge in that you're not just universities do not exist just to train people for work, for jobs, for careers. It's one of the many things that they are there to do. In terms of workforce development, you're trying to train good leaders here, right? And good people that will go off to not just work at these companies, but lead these companies.
Yeah, very much so. And in addition to that, part of that leadership role is to really function on a team and be able to work with people. And that's something that we hear from our employers. That's very, very important. And they need to be able to demonstrate critical thinking skills. So one of the things that we're trying to design into the co-op is what kind of challenges and problem solving can be incorporated that they're going to experience after they graduate from the university. That's very important.
You know, and to the Chancellor's earlier point, more and more businesses are seeing internships really as an investment in creating their pipeline. I was at a workforce development summit over in central Wisconsin a couple of months ago and had the chance to visit with the CEO of a major employer in central Wisconsin. And in that company's situation, their internship program kind of started incidentally, kind of the traditional internship, unpaid internship. Over the years, they've come to realize that is an investment for them. Now they not only pay their interns, they're providing scholarships for their interns to continue their education in between summer internships. And what they've seen is that 60% of the interns that come through that program with the support of that employer actually end up working at that place of employment. So again, you know, part of the discussion that we're going to have here today is the fact that employers need to view internships as an investment in creating their workforce pipeline.
I have a question. Earlier in the program, you talked about the role of technical schools. How do they play into all of this today?
Well, I'm in a unique situation, this Chancellor Meyer, in that I'm at a four-year institution, but previous to this, I spent 6 years at Wisconsin Indian Head Technical College. If you look at the profile of where the needs are, about 60% of the jobs in Wisconsin, if you go back to studies that have been done by the Council on Wisconsin Strategies, COWS, it indicates about 60% of the open positions are related to jobs that require more than a high school education, but less than a four-year degree. So that's really the sweet spot. They're very integral in terms of the solution to this because so much of the demand is in that area. But beyond that, you know, my interest, obviously, at Stout is to produce the engineers, the leaders, the designers. Those are the four-year level types of graduates that are needed. But to go back to the technical colleges, they're very instrumental. And while I was in the technical college system, Dave mentioned the Fast Forward program. That was very, very critical and continues to be critical to Wisconsin because it targets those skill gap areas that are in very, very high demand that need to be resolved very quickly. And I think we're fortunate to have a state that's paying attention to that and focusing resources in the area of high need. So they're definitely an important part of the solution. And so, you know, that's what's neat about today. We're going to have the technical colleges in the room. We'll have the UW system participants from the area in the room, as well as the independent colleges and universities. So we got the full force at higher education here trying to work on this problem.
I would assume an action plan then comes out of something like this, where you get together, you discuss things, you hear a lot, and then from that point, people such as yourself, Deputy Secretary Anderson, you put this into play, right?
Exactly, and as we look to implement the Wisconsin Act 283, the internship legislation, the reason we're doing this series of workshops, and actually this is the second of seven that we're going to be doing across the state at various institutions of higher education, we hope to come up with a plan that capitalizes and leverages things that are already underway. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to waste any resources putting in place things that are already being done and being done effectively elsewhere. We want to figure out ways to leverage that, and we want to figure out ways that the private sector can capitalize and tie into those existing structures a little bit more effectively. I mentioned the Job Center of Wisconsin earlier. That's, again, our online labor exchange program. What we envision, and we're testing this idea at each one of these workshops, what we envision is a similar platform on a statewide basis that can be used to connect students looking for internship experiences with employers looking to bring interns, hire interns, and bring them on board. So that's one of the one of the arrows in our quiver that we hope to pull out here as we get more into the process.
What areas are the most popular? Which companies, in other words, are showing the most interest in having interns? What kind of technologies or what kind of areas are the hot ones, so to speak, right now as far as wanting interns?
Yeah, I can speak to that. From Stout's point of view, it's pretty much all the above. It's I think one of the things that the university has always been focused on is, first of all, creating programs that respond to the needs of business and industry and employers, whether it's education or industry. And we've got about 48 undergraduate programs right now. They're all designed and shaped around a specific need. One of the most recent ones is mechanical engineering. There were somewhere around 600 unfilled mechanical engineering positions in Northwest Wisconsin. So we align that program with the need. And then from there, the internships follow. That's an integral part of the educational experience. We want to get students out there experiencing what they're going to be facing when they hit the world of work. So we want them doing problem solving early in their education. And we like to get them out into industry, into the employer space to see what that looks like.
How far afield might these internships go? Do they stay mainly around Western Wisconsin, maybe the Twin Cities, or can they experience the world?
Yeah, you know, about 75% of our students have looked at the research. If you spin a radius from Menominee, Wisconsin, that's about 150 miles, you're going to see the vast majority of our students placed in that region. And so it's largely regional, but then beyond that, the 25% that we're talking about the other 25% are scattered all over the country, actually, because many Wisconsin employers may have locations outside of Wisconsin or in the Twin Cities, or they may be in other parts of not only the United States but the world. So, we've had students placed in Costa Rica, for example. Boston Scientific has a location over in the Twin Cities, but also has some production down in Costa Rica. So it's a pretty broad answer, but most of our students really, about a little more than 80%, I think it's 82% of our students, were placed in employment related to their major, and most of them are being placed in Wisconsin or very close to the border, the Minnesota border.
And if we're successful in launching this online internship exchange, We think that really broadens the opportunity for internships all over the state. If a student goes home to Appleton for the summer, a UW Stout student, they're home in Appleton, if they know what kinds of internships are available in Appleton, they'll be able to do an internship experience there while they're home for the summer and making money to come back to school in the fall. So we're excited about the potential.
Chancellor, you mean we'll let you go here because I know you got to get to this conference and get this all taken care of. But you'd mentioned two things that were interesting to note. Mechanical engineering and very early on, X-ray technology. The assumption sometimes is that, you know, one technology comes along and that completely knocks out the other one, like we're never going to need that ever again. And I don't know if any of you caught throughout the course of the Olympics a favor that GE did to all of us by representing the fact that they show a young lady who is working on a jet engine and working in other capabilities where she's trying to illustrate that we need both. While we've moved so much to digitally and we've moved to that, there still is a great need for engineers and people to just build stuff. We need to still continue doing that. You know, while new technology comes along, that doesn't necessarily mean the old technology gets thrown out.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, if you look at the technical colleges, I think it's really challenging at that level because you're focusing a lot on the technical skills and those technologies change and they disrupt what you're doing and what you're offering. So, you know, all of our institutions of higher education have to be nimble, and technology really does have an impact and changes that. But the other aspect of, especially at the university level, that we have to be cognizant of is that we're competing in a global innovation economy, and that means we need to have the talent that's very smart and bright to design the next product or the next service that's going to come along, reinvent an existing product. So that's our focus, is on innovation and how do we prepare a student to do the problem solving and the thinking that's needed so employers get value out of those graduates.
Chancellor Meyer from UW Stout and Dave Anderson, the Assistant Deputy Secretary for Workforce Development, thanks for sharing some insight on this very, very viable topic, very, very much of interest to all of our listeners. So thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's been great. Happy to be here.
All right. Take care. Have a good day. There they are. And we'll post that for you at WYYYradio.com. And who knows, that might appear in a future Newsmakers as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more in just a moment on 105.1 WYYY.